Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Power to Be You and Rise to Win for Our Youth. I am Sandra Bueno, and I'm coming to you live from West Palm Beach, Florida. And today we are having a half-an-hour show whereby I am going to be taking you through a coaching lesson. And the coaching lesson obviously comes from what I am living through right now and the different forces that are coming in, the different learning lessons that are available, and the different options that we all have to relate to the circumstance and to relate to the stimulus or the stimuli that's coming across. And I'd love to follow this right on the feet of Jim Flood. And for those of you who were unable to be on live on the show yesterday, Jim Flood is a life balance solutions coach, and his background is in the banking industry. His whole entire life, this is what he worked in, and he was a successful real estate person. He was also involved in leadership and coaching with his team of 250 people. And he had a situation in his life where he had to consider other options. And his option came from a faith perspective where he realized that there were skills that he had to help people and to empower people. And he was willing to really follow his heart and really follow where God was putting into his path. And now he has written a book, and the book is called Life Balance Solutions. And he focuses on eight areas or eight priorities: faith, family, focus, fun, and a couple of other things that really puts us in a perspective of having to look at our lives not from a material standpoint but from an internal standpoint. And that is right up along what I believe in. I believe that through coaching, we come across practical tools and skills that helps us to deal with the situation. And it helps us to know that there are solutions and that there are options. And what allows us to navigate through those options, to deal with the situation, to not fall underneath all of the different issues that arise and the circumstances that arise and the difficulties that arise out of our situation, is faith. And it's the spiritual part of who we are. And that's where spirit, for me, cannot happen without a higher force. Spirituality comes from a standpoint of something that you practice and something that you can also take or experience that allows you to feel a certain way. But in order for you to feel a certain way, you must be willing to engage. And that engagement comes from what you focus on, what you think about. It's a situation that comes out of you practicing. It comes out of you using your five senses and even your sixth sense, as they say. It comes out of you being willing to believe in something bigger than you. And that, to me, is the essence of God. The essence that God is there, that God is powerful, that God created us, and that we are created for something bigger and something better than our circumstance. So when Jim came across yesterday and spoke of life balance, I asked him a question about basically just, you know, if spirituality needed to be in place in order for people to have balance. And I also brought the question down to our youth. When parents are not teaching children about their spiritual essence, how does that affect the child? Who a child is simply looking at the circumstances from a disempowered position. They're looking at it as, well, if my parents can't handle it, and if my parents are having such a difficult time with their finances and with their home and with their, with their daily routine and with their business, how are we going to handle it? So if there is no connection and no link of spirituality, the children are lost. There's no hope. There's no hope. There's no vision for how things can be. And the only relation that they have to how things can be is based on the past, is based on the experience that they have had. Try to get that picture in your mind. The experience that kids are having about the future is based on what they know. So if they don't know any better and they can't see the clearing, they're not going to be looking for that in their future. All they are going to be looking for is what they already know. So if their life conditioning is based on frustration, if it's based on problems, if it's based on issues, if it's based on parents who react rather than act, if it's based on parents who lose it constantly or who blame each other or who don't have a way out or who aren't positive about change, then that child's perspective of their future life is dismal. And that is where my heart lies, because all of my life I have had to fight that. I have had to constantly protect that insight that I've always carried of something better, of bigger possibilities, of being able to be who God has wanted me to be, of being able to have a life where I could manifest my higher purpose, and I could help people, and I could make a difference, and I could also enjoy life, and I could also travel, and I could also smile and laugh and be in love and be loved. That has always been my plight, and today at 41 years old, I am still in the midst of that. I am still there, and all of a sudden, 41 years of my life have already passed. And I could ask myself, well, what is life? And where is my life? And what is my journey about? If I didn't have a sense of it, then I would be looking at 41 years as a waste. Yet, my life and the journey that I've been living is what constitutes my life experience. And that's why people will say, today is your life. What you are living right now, wherever you are in life, what's taking place in your work, what's taking place with your family, what's taking place with your kids, what's taking place with you, what is taking place with you and how you see yourself and how you feel about you and where you are, is completely based on how you've been living your life. You know, and unless you wish to change it, unless you take that step to say, I want to choose differently, life is going to continue as is. And it is not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. And I don't want to sound negative here, but that is the awareness. That is the awareness factor in place. It's not going to get better simply because with every day that passes, you're one day older and you're one more day tired, and one more day disillusioned, and one more day disempowered. The same old keeps on coming up. The answer to insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again and expecting a different result. So what I lovingly want to say to you is that the options are there. In order for you to go forward and to change what's taking place right now, you need to just say, I want to make a change. And then become aware about the areas that you want change in. Positive change. Because again, change is always taking place. Every second we are in the mode of change. So whether we choose to act or not act, whether we say yes or say no, whether we ignore or we engage, we contribute or not, we affect or effect, change is taking place. Change is continuous. It's what keeps us alive. And when change stops happening, it's because then we're dead. So in order to get and to gain that life balance, it's really about looking at your life from two areas, from two perspectives. The spiritual life, that is what's working behind the scenes. The spiritual life is what is propelling you, is what is motivating you, is what is keeping you alive, is what's making you believe in something bigger and something better, is where your faith comes out of, is where your strength comes out of. That spiritual path of your life is what allows you to get up. It's what allows you to have that strength and that conviction to defy the odds, to defy the people who don't believe in your possibilities. that spiritual connection and that spiritual insight that wells up within you, within your stomach, within your gut, is what you are born with, is what God has put in each and every one of us as his child, to be able to come into this world and have a human experience where we are set here to be able to manifest our higher purpose. And that higher purpose is what you and I can now look and see a lot of reflections of that higher purpose in those people that we believe in those people that we admire, in those people that are heroes, in those people that have overcome all adversity so that they could get to a place where they could inspire and help so many other people. And we know those people that belong to the last century, the people who were born in the 1900s. We need to be looking now at the ones that were born now in the 2000s. And those are us. We're alive. We are in that possible mode of creating. And if not us, then our children. So we are in that transition wave of creating those new heroes. And this is the moment that we have been in our lives, that we have been put at, to be able to have the strength and the courage, the boldness and the perseverance to defy the odds and say, you know what? I have been created for way more than this, and I can do it, and I will do it, and I will find the way. I will do whatever it takes. And again, when you say, I will do whatever it takes, when you have a spiritual connection, you know that when you say, I will do whatever it takes, you know that there is a limitation as to what you are willing to do. You know that you will not sell out. You know that if somebody asks you to do something that's going to hurt somebody else or hurt yourself or rob someone or injure someone, you're going to say no, because there is a moral compass to your ability to decide. That is what your spiritual nature will bring to your life. You know, and then the practical is about, okay, what do I do? What's available? What resources are there? Give me a shovel. Hillary Clinton has a chapter in It Takes a Village that says, give a child a shovel. This is what her father did for her. Every time she was in a situation, a challenge, the father would say, what shovel are you going to use? And that's what we need to equip our kids with. And it's challenging for us if we have not been equipped with shovels, if our parents or our people around us that created us or that helped us to be created and to shape up our beliefs and our values, if they didn't give us a shovel, maybe they gave us a pile of dirt instead. Maybe they helped bury us underneath that pile of dirt. Well, you got to know that God has already given you a shovel. There's a shovel. There's a shovel of spirit and of hope. There's a shovel of possibilities and creation and love and evolution as a human being. I mean, we regenerate, our bodies, our cells regenerate. Every 90 days, we have new cells. Every 2 years, we have completely new bodies. You know, it's amazing the things that we as human beings can do. But yeah, we're falling short of our potential because we're so fearful, because we don't realize what we have at our disposal. And that is what I am here to do. That is my conviction. That is my purpose. My purpose is to be able to come and say, listen, there are solutions to your issues and there are options that you can put yourself under to help yourself out, to shovel your way out. Now, I can't go over there and shovel with you. I just can't. I got to shovel my own. I'm presently in there, you know, but I'll continue. And that's what happened in Shawshank Redemption, that movie with Tim Rice. That movie is a great movie because it shows what a person will do in order to have liberty and to have freedom. You know, and it takes liberty and freedom, takes steps, grains of salt, because we have to fight that liberty and freedom from birth. If you're spiritual, and I didn't even say spiritual, if you believe in the higher force and you believe in God's will for us as human beings, then you will understand how we are born. Being born into bondage, conditioned by your humanity, conditioned by the fact that we sinned, conditioned by the fact that we fell short of our possibilities with Adam and Eve. Now, you might have naysayers and skeptics who will right away go against that. But what I know is that when I look at the pain and suffering that people are going through, when I look at homeless people in the street and I look at their faces, when I read the book Underbelly, these are the words that come directly from the human beings who are in the streets of West Palm Beach, one of the richest counties in the United States, a place where a lot of Madoff's clients lived or had homes. When you look at these stories and you see the pain that these people have gone through and their challenges and the injury that they've suffered at the hands of their parents, at the hands of drugs, because of their circumstance, and when you look at those who have faith or who have transformed their lives and want something better, whether they're imprisoned or not, it's always one common denominator, and that's God. So, yeah, for me, I know in the absence of good, there's evil. And as human beings, we need a compass. We need direction. We need something to hold us accountable, and not someone, not a person. Because again, we are humans. And as humans, there are so many things that we are exposed to. There are so many things that we that motivate us or that make us move or that presses us to behave in a certain way or to react. We're not perfect. And through our own humanity, we have different colors. And some of those colors are sharper than others. Some of those colors are mean. Some of those colors are injurious. Some of those colors are persistent. And the only way that we can take everything into hold and be able to live up to a higher place of being, to a higher nature, the nature that God wants us to be, as loving people, as people who forgive, as people who go out of their way to help others, as people who value what's really important in life, who value being role models, and who value youth, and who value their spouses and their parents and the elderly. You know, people who value good as opposed to bad. That right there and then is truly what our spirituality allows us to come in contact with. I will tell you that for me, my spiritual walk has been one that has been filled with a lot of challenges. But my willingness to live through those challenges and to persevere have been because of that higher purpose. You know, one day you'll be able to hear the story of what's taking place right now in my life. And you'll be able to say, oh, you know, wow. Because I will give me credit for that, just for having the willingness to do that. And I can only thank God that He has given me the ability and the peace and the insight to be able to get up again and get up again and get up again. Even when I'm hurt, or even when I'm sad, or even when I'm, you know, overpressured. Because I know that there is a way out, and I know that this is the cost of being able to create what you believe in. I know that there's a sacrifice. There's a sacrifice whether you're living the life that you want to live, or if you're having to endure the life that you've chosen. There is always a sacrifice of complacency or for believing in something bigger and better. And right now you have an option to choose if the price that you're paying is worth the struggle that you are enduring. I used to say before in the past that I would rather be with someone as a mate that I would love and be sharing a McDonald's hamburger at a park than to be with someone just because they had money at a 5-star restaurant, drinking champagne and having a gourmet meal when I had nothing in common with that person, or where I couldn't respect that person, or where the person was just about the money or arrogant. I couldn't. And I had options. I had opportunities. When I was a flight attendant, flying first class, I had many options to be able to meet many, many individuals, many, many businessmen whom would regularly travel and who had money and who had businesses and who lived in various places of the world. You know, and I opted not to. And that choice for me has been one that I've continuously made concessions for, and that even today, I'm still not 100% clear on it. I still don't have the winning answer, because it's not an answer. It's an everyday effort to be able to create what you want, especially when it relates to another person. And that's where the values and the principles come in. That's where creating that foundation and having that moral compass is very important. Because while you may have those ideals and where you might have a vision of how a person should be, that person that you are looking to have a relationship with may not have the same ideals or the same morals or the same principles. And you realize down the road that all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, who am I with? I made a commitment to be with this person, but I really didn't know who they were. And now, based on your beliefs, again, you're going to have to make a choice. If you have kids, you have to make another choice. And all of a sudden, you're at a place where you're going to ask yourself, is the price that I'm paying worth the sacrifice? And unless you become aware of where you are and you ask yourself, where do I want to be with this? What do I want my relationship to be? How do I want to have a relationship? How do I want to live? What do I want to show my kids? Because whatever you're showing them is the model of the world that they are creating, or that you are creating, helping them create. And whatever you are enduring is giving your kids a direction of how they're going to be. Either they're going to be like you, exactly like you, or they're going to try to go on the opposite way and try to be completely different. But either way, it's not really the way that they can be. Yesterday, Jim really shared a lot about his family and his father and his upbringing and the discipline that there was, the respect, the self-constraint, and the faith and the spirituality that they have. Again, spirituality is believing in something more. Using that to help you get out of where you are, a lifeline. But it gives you your identity. It allows you to take on challenges that are so much bigger than you for a higher cost, and know that there is someone backing you up. And it's not someone that's of flesh and bone. It's the entity. And for me, as a Christian, it's the entity of God. It is God. Now, if anybody else would go and say, you know, have any argument, all I need to know is, does their God ask them to help other people? You know, I mean, God, as I know it, is about loving others. It's about loving others. It's about doing good. It's about seeing pain and wanting to do something about it so that it can be changed. And that is why I'm so vehement about creating Rise to Win for our youth. That is why, for me, it is so important to have a framework of individuals, of businesses, of nonprofit organizations who are part of change and who could be sources and resources to allow us to come in and have these kids come so that they can be impacted, so that they can be prepared, so that they can get the essential skills that they need in order to handle life as it is happening today. And we don't have time. As adults and as parents, we need to start taking on that awareness as well. And we need to start equipping ourselves, because we need to dig ourselves out of that hole that we're in right now. And we need to create a different tomorrow by the actions that we're doing today. And what better way to do it than to look for what you can do for that other generation that's right, that's trailing us. That generation needs us, and we need them. That is how evolution will continue. And if in the absence of good, there is evil, and all you need to do is go online and put in a negative word and see what shows up. Put in something that will show you darkness of life, and you will be surprised. I myself haven't done that because I don't want to do that. I don't want to see what comes up because I know it. I know what's in the streets. I know it out there. I have a friend of mine, a very good friend, who's a deputy, who's a sheriff's deputy. Her job is to go and deliver eviction notices. And she will continuously go and go into the homes and the lives of these people, families, parents, elderly, abused women, that she will see the constraints that they have in their lives. And she knows that, you know, that's reality. But that reality doesn't have to be, because we have the options to change it. We have the opportunity to change it. And collectively we can. Single-handedly, we can do some change. But collectively, we can truly step up for change. And change takes place when we decide to do it. Obama is making change. He can't take on the world, but the world can help him go forward and change and create a new legacy for the 21st century. Because what we do today is going to carry through the years. What our forefathers did in 1776 and what led to that revolution was a lot of pain and was injustice and was a desire to be free. And people stepped up and created a revolution, created the Declaration of Independence, created so many different doctrines that regulated behavior and that allowed people to come together and creating groups. And that's where we are right now, creating our life again, creating our communities again. People now need to be linked up together and need to have a common platform. Because for as long as we're separated, we are weak. United, we are strong. We have seen that before. That was one of the lines, the taglines the unions used. We're united, we are strong. One common purpose, the purpose to make a difference for our kids, will allow us to get out of whatever hole we are in. Because as human beings will do more for others than we will do for ourselves. Look at The Biggest Loser, the show, The Biggest Loser. It was on last night. Look at the behind the scenes. Look at what's motivating these people. They had couples, pairs. By the end of the night, the pair had to separate. One person had to go home. When they all heard that 9 people would be leaving, everyone had that face of gloom and doom. Then they gave them the other side. The other side was that those people that were able to stay for the next 30 days would be able to bring back their partner. All of a sudden, hope restored, vision. That also was the fuel to get both parties now to start working real hard and to do what they need to do in order to be able to come back on the show. So you could see the people who stayed behind are not going to be thinking about themselves. They're going to be thinking about their responsibility for the one that's out. And the one that's out is going to be thinking about their responsibility based on the one that's in, working for them. And there you go, you have a unit. And we're all pulling for them. So what I would say is right now, we are here to make a difference. We are here to step up. I am not giving up. I am not giving in. This is my purpose. This is my reason. This is where I am. And why I do this show is so that I can share with you, so that I can learn, so that I can inspire, and so that I can come across and say there are solutions and we have options. And those options are here for those who want to take them on. So join me at rightstowin.com. Be a part of change. Connect with me. If you want to come on this show and be one of the guests, you're making a difference. You're stepping up. You want to make a difference. Come. This is about making a difference across the United States. And once we equip our kids, they're going to go out to the world and rev up change. Congo needs it. Colombia needs it. Guatemala needs it. Mexico needs it. Everywhere we look, people are suffering. And they are not where we are. We have the skills to make a difference and impact the world. This is Sandra Bueno signing out.